Go ahead and start pre-meeting. Thank you for your patience with me. Is this everybody that's showing up? We're assuming, possibly. Okay. She was just in the break room. Well, there's only three. Not bad. Do you want me to ask if anybody has questions, or you just want to start? Yeah, that's fine. Sorry, I thought that's what you were going to do. Mike, Leah, Mike.
All right. So Ethan is Hartridge.
This is Ethan Eggman. This is a pretty simple one for starting off. This is initially we'd staff review this type of review, but given that it's three staff reviews, we brought it to you guys at the board. They're asking for new shingles, new windows, and a new door. Currently, their roof is leaking and there's water that's coming into the unit. So I'm pretty sure they're pretty happy to wait it out and come to the board. But as far as what staff found is this is going to be on Hartridge. Let's see if we get a good photo of it. It's one of the single story concrete block buildings. It is considered contributing according to our records. Some of the roof damage, windows. Staff found that the windows and doors are not original. For the roof replacement, they're just proposing shingles, which back to the Sanborn maps, that was the original feature of the roof, was a composition material. And then for the door, two panel wood door, and for windows, they're gonna go with it's the Windsor series, the prime series, I believe. They're gonna do two casement, two awning, seven double hung. Pinnacle, my mistake. Yeah, the Windsor Pinnacle series, which you guys have approved before. So for this one, we're just offering, or we're recommending approval to you guys without any conditions.
Does anybody have any questions for staff? Okay. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jamie Zerillo. So this is 501 Montgomery Street. For this one, they're just proposing to add a few signs. One is going to be illuminated, located here, and the other is going to be a non-illuminated wall sign here. In addition, they're also proposing to add window decal signs, but per the ordinance, decal signs that are less than 10% of the entire window area don't get reviewed and don't require a permit, but they're there just for context. And so this is the non-illuminated sign design, which is on Montgomery Street. It meets all the standards for signs as well as sign area. And then scrolling down, this is the illuminated sign. Again, it meets all the standards, so we don't really have any major comments. And for context, they included sort of a stylistic idea. So that's all we really have for this one. We're recommending approval with no conditions since it meets all the standards. And if anyone has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Does anybody have any questions for Jamie? Go ahead.
That last sign you showed, that's just an example of the materials. Is that what that's for?
Yeah, this one, yeah.
Kind of threw me when I went through the agenda.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any further questions for staff? Thank you, sir.
Okay, so this one is 212 West Huntingdon. They're proposing to remove an existing porch and install a new one and to construct a 9x9 shed. So the kind of interesting thing about this property is that the lane is actually private property. So the view from the public right of way looks like this. This is from Barnard Street. So this is the property right here. And this is a view from Tatnall Street. So we won't see any of the alterations to the porch. The thing that we will see is the shed, which is right here. As you can see, this is the existing wall. So it comes about 3 feet above the wall. And staff had a few comments for it just based on the standards. So the first is that it's using hardy panels, which are prohibited. So staff's recommending either hardy siding or wood siding for this. Another is that a shed roof is prohibited as well if it's not hidden by a parapet. So staff's recommending a flat roof or another revised roof design for that to meet the standard. And then there were two other conditions we had just based on a lack of information, which is just the color and the finish of the shed's exterior, as well as, let me see if I can find it. There's a gate on the rear of the wall that they're proposing to alter. Right here. But they didn't provide any specifications for that. So staff's just asking for specifications as to what that new gate door will look like, as well as the material. But with that, we're recommending approval with those conditions. So if you have any questions, be happy to answer.
Does anybody have any questions for staff? No? Thank you. Go ahead.
Can you show me the recommendations?
Yeah.
Okay.
So. Oh, yeah. Also, I should mention that we talked with the applicant and they were fine with all these conditions and making the changes. So that's why we recommended approval instead of continuance.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Hello, everybody. All right, so this is 27 Barnard, which most recently known as Wild Wings. It is now going to be an Irish pub. Excuse me. Y'all might want to sanitize this after I touch it. Just say it. All right. So, Wild Wing. And then what they are proposing is this. So they want to put these elaborate. Yeah.
Can you speak more into the?
Yep.
Better. Sorry. Can you hear better now?
Is that any better?
Yeah.
Should I turn the air purifiers off? Oh.
There you go.
Should we not purify our air?
Yeah. We want all the dirty air. It's fine.
Now we'll all get. So I shouldn't laugh. It's so funny. Anyway, so they want to take off, except for the foundation, that existing deck, and build this new one. And then put door surrounds around three of the doors and add window boxes and light fixtures. Here are some of the renderings. So this is from Ellis Square. So this is another door for the surround. Here's another shot of the deck, the porch. It's not a deck specifically. Here's the third surround, and this is from City Market. I think that was all the running. That's from inside, looking out. All right, and staff has concerns about the design mostly from the Secretary of the Interior standpoint, and creating a false sense of historical development, as well as those door surrounds and potentially damaging the windows, damaging the door surrounds, because there wasn't any information about how those door surrounds will be attached. Mm-hmm. There was a section through it, but it didn't show an attachment method. They're showing this structure. They're saying there's like an 18-inch hyphen you can see here, and that it's not attached. But then when you look at the structural drawings, and I guess it's sort of independent. It's flashed onto the building. So, in addition to damage, our biggest concern is creating false sense of historical development. Obviously, this looks old. It looks like it's probably end up looking like it's always been there. And that's the exact opposite of what we're trying to achieve here. We did discuss this with the applicant in the pre-meeting, and they wanted to proceed with the design. They said they made a few changes, but I'm not sure what they were, just because we didn't have the before and the after. So we are recommending a continuance, and that's to significantly simplify the design of the porch addition, remove all new door surrounds from the design, provide information regarding the attachment of the flower boxes. They just showed flower boxes, no attachment methods. They didn't provide any color selections other than the renderings, but no actual color selections. They also said at the beginning, which we'll go into more in the regular review, they said that there's two proposed signs, and they described where they're going to go, but they didn't provide any of the information for the signs. And then lastly, they provided a spec for the the wall sconce, but not for the gooseneck light fixture. So obviously the biggest issues are the top three.
Does anybody have any questions for Leah? Go ahead.
Leah, can you put up pictures of what it is, what it looks like right now? Hmm? Trying to figure out the current door surrounds. Can we zoom in on that?
I don't think those current doors are historic either, correct?
The doors themselves, they are replacing the doors too, and they are not historic. Right. They were done in the 80s renovation. That's what I thought. So we didn't have any concerns about that. Hold on one second. See if I can.
So it looks like it's recessed. The doors.
Mm-hmm.
Our concern is about the, here we go. This is a good one. It's nice and lit.
The header.
It just has like a lintel.
Yep.
Okay. And that's original.
It does have a good profile though of being inset.
Right. And that's the idea of these buildings. They were vernacular. They were simple city, you know, city market buildings. So to add all the stuff to them.
And the stuff. Surround would cover the lintel.
I'm sorry?
The surround would cover the lintel.
Absolutely, yep. Not this door. They're not proposing that door. They're proposing this door. I can show you the elevations.
Yeah, and like you said, if they didn't provide like a attachment method of how they're going to do it, then they could potentially mess that up or mess masonry or...
You can see how it's there. The new ones are proposed to come right to the edge of.
Okay.
Cover that right up.
I just have one more quick question. Those gooseneck lights, are those? I don't think I've seen very many of those.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, staff has approved a lot of gooseneck light fixtures. They were real popular for a long time, but I haven't seen any in a while. So I don't know if they're becoming popular again or if it's like a Irish pub thing or
the trend. It's a trend thing. Does anybody else have any other questions for Leah?
Did the petitioner have a dialogue with you before they got this far along?
No.
They have any kind of a timeline on when they're going to open? Just so we know how much pressure.
They didn't tell me one if they have one. No, this is how it looked. Well, a little bit even more so when they met with me the week before the meeting or a week before the deadline.
Does anybody else have any other questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Leo.
Thank you. And then 301 Alice, find it. I do want to point out an error in 301 Alice, and I'll point it out at the beginning now. I'm obviously going to point it out in the meeting, but there's an error in staff's report that I found when I was getting ready. So that was fun. But there is a corrected document. So I will show it to you. So right here where this relevant, this section right here, which is the relevant criteria for designation. We used the section for a historic district instead of a historic property. So this is what we used. You can see here, I'm going to bring up a document. Can you see that or is that too small?
It's small.
Too small. Okay. So this is the original text that I just showed you all. That was included in the document. The main point here, so 3.16.4, the main point you want to take away from here is that these four criteria are exactly the same as the four criteria for historic property. Mm-hmm. So this is what we should have used, which is 3.17.4, and whether historic property possesses these. But the criteria are exactly the same. So I wanted to point that out now. So we haven't changed much of our report other than that. The only change is that we went back through more of our files and found, and I feel like I'm throwing someone under the bus right now, but that there's actually two letters that we sent to the applicant at that time. There's two envelopes with two PO boxes. I'm sorry, I can't find it. There we go. So this is the entire document. We scanned it all. Well, we don't have to scan it all in now. In the past, once a project was over, you take the whole file, you scan the whole file in, you digitize it. So this is the scanned digitized file. And here are the mailing labels two mailing labels went to Ralph Anderson. And the PIN number that you see there are both for 301 Alice Street. So that's the biggest change to our report. We just kind of tweaked that a little bit to say that two letters went to 301 Alice Street during this time. But our recommendation hasn't changed. We're still recommending that do I need to go over the whole project? Is there anybody that wasn't here? Oh, yes. Okay. All right.
And just for the record, I'll still have to recuse myself, so I'll pass my scripty down to you. Okay.
Yes, that's right. So 301 Alice Street, you know what? How much time do we have? Do you want me to do the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Since Karen wasn't here.
Okay. So this is a request for approval to change the status of 301 Alice Street from contributing to non-contributing. This is 301 Alice Street. 301 Alice was added as a contributing building to the historic building map in 2010, which was part of a larger effort to add 112 buildings as contributing to the district. The documentation provided in 2010 indicates that the building was constructed in 1940. However, further research provided by a consultant in the applicant's middle packet appears to demonstrate that the building was constructed in 1951 or 1952, as it does not appear on the 1950 Sanborn map, but is visible on the 1953 Sanborn map and a 1955 aerial. Staff's review of the applicant's request was undertaken. We don't need that part. I'm gonna skip that part. All right, so the criteria. I'm gonna show them on the PDFs. These are the criteria that we wanna use here. So any property that meets the following criteria shall be considered eligible for contributing status. Whether the historic property possesses integrity of location, setting, design, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association, and at least one of the following is associated with events that have made a significant contribution to the broad patterns of our history. And I'm going to stop there because that is the criterion that the historic preservation officer in 2010, which was Sarah Ward at that time in this position, found that these properties met was that it was associated with a event that had a significant contribution to the broad patterns of Savannah's history. So the mayor and alderman voted in 2010 to add 301 Alice Street as contributing building, finding that the building fit within the context and the building maintained historic integrity. Additionally, comparing the photograph from 2010 the packet from 2010, the analysis of buildings eligible for designation to the building today, the building does not seem to have changed in any significant manner. Therefore, staff finds that 301 Alice Street still maintains the same integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association that it had when it was determined eligible in 2010 by the preservation officer. Furthermore, according to the preservation officer, the building meets the criteria for its association with the broad patterns of development in Savannah. There is a section, I want to quote what she put in there too, because she had added four auto-related buildings, and this was one of the four. So automotive related properties, the decades of the 20th century between world wars, well, this one turns out not between world wars, saw the rise of the dominance of the automobile. Early auto related structures blended into the urban landscape in a manner that contributed to rather than detracted from the larger urban setting. Savannah is fortunate to retain a number of interesting auto-related structures from the early to mid-1900s. Four structures were identified, including 301 Alice Street, that fit within this context. They're all over 50 years of age, remember this is a quote, maintain their historic integrity and meet criteria A, which is now criteria I, for the broad pattern of development to the district to include the automotive-related development. Although it has now been discovered that the building dates from between circa 1950 as opposed to circa 1940, the other facts remain the same and the building still falls within the local district's period of significance, which is 1733 to 1960. Staff is still recommending approval. I'm sorry, recommending denial. Let me show you what it actually says, because what you have to do is make a recommendation to City Council. City Council doesn't, or you all don't have the final say on whether something comes off the contributing building map or not. So staff is recommending that you all recommend denial to the mayor and aldermen to change the status of 301 Alice Street from contributing to non-contributing building because the property remains eligible for contributing status under section 3.17.4 criteria for designation, criteria I, and structurally the building appears to be intact. I hope that helps.
Do you have any questions?
This one's a little baffling to me, and probably because I walk by it on a regular basis since it's a block away from my homestead. I understand the criteria and I understand the importance of saving buildings that represent part of history and automotive. This one makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all we have to go by is the criteria that's in the ordinance.
And there was a history included in your thing.
It's just, I don't see any defining architectural features. It doesn't read to me as an automotive building. I would never run by it and say, wow, I'm so glad we saved that, representative of a significant period in history. So I guess it's just, you know, I know sometimes things get included and people make mistakes. This feels like a mistake to me.
Understood.
I think the consensus at the last board meeting was that everybody was divided, and so they wanted to wait for more people to come. So.
Well, there was three votes.
Right, yeah.
So.
So now there's more this time. There's more people here.
Got it. So. I guess my colleagues that are on the other side that see it as contributing, since I didn't hear comments last time, if you want to reiterate.
I can tell you what the votes were. Can I tell them what the votes were from last time?
Well, and I'm sure that you guys can talk about it too in the meeting too, but.
So the first vote was for, I can't remember which one was first, but there was one for denial of delisting, and that was a split vote because Ellie had to recuse herself, so there were four. So that was a split vote, which means it fails. And then there was another one for approval of delisting it, and that was obviously a split vote, and so it failed. And so then Mr. Thompson made a motion to continue it. And so here we are again.
Any other questions? go ahead.
One of the things I was thinking about, and you may or may not be able to speak on this, is if for some reason this building had never been designated.
I can't hear you at all. I'm so sorry.
If for some reason this building had never been designated and it comes before you now, you as staff, would you recommend it be included?
Well, you know, there's a whole process where we have to, again, use the criteria to assess it. So I don't know if I could say offhand without going through that process. Without doing that process that's required by the ordinance, I don't think I could say.
And one other thing, back in 2010, how long was the process from the first notification till the city council vote?
Ooh, I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know that answer.
Because doesn't it have to go through, isn't it the same channels as it is now where it has to come before you guys or before us and then go to city council?
No. There were two public meetings and then it goes to MPC and then it goes to city council.
Yeah, there you go.
But there were two public meetings as well.
Probably a few months.
Let me find that.
I would assume. If you're doing public meetings and then the MPC board and then depending on where it all fell, at least a minimum probably of 2 months, maybe three.
And that's kind of what I was feeling. simply because this is Savannah and within 2 months, there would be so much neighborhood chatter about this designation. One of the points made was that the owner didn't realize that this building was designated. And if it was 2 months and there are 110 buildings or whatever it was being designated, I can't help but believe there wouldn't be chatter between neighbors and other parties, especially when the owner is involved in restoration work. Uh-huh, uh-huh. So that kind of, my mind, 86 is that part of it.
So the public meetings were a week apart. Okay, so those must have been the two MPC meetings. Or no, the second one was the MPC meeting, November 23rd. It wasn't an excessive amount of time. It wasn't more than a few months. It looks like.
Do we have any other questions, comments? Go ahead.
Well, I kind of look at this building like Ms. Gunn commented on it. So, and I just want to say publicly that I was wrong in the last meeting about the notice, and the staff provided great detail, which I looked at. At the end, the city council will look at this application differently than the 110 one. The 110 one, I think they'll rely more on staff recommendation there, and a single unit coming up for discussion will create a different dynamic at city council, and that's ultimately their decision. The gas station, former gas station, I think on Drayton and Charlton or somewhere in that area, that went to city council against staff recommendation. They voted to allow it to be demolished, and sort of a little story, but 1 minute, I'm not kidding you, after they got the permit, that building was taken down and gone. Wow. So I guess what I'm throwing out there is that city council will have the ultimate decision making here.
Anyway, any other questions, comments, concerns? Okay, I think we're good. Anybody else have any other questions or comments about anything else on the agenda before we adjourn before the regular meeting? No? Okay, we'll be back here in 10 minutes.
I have it all written down over there, so bear with me for a second.
That's not it. It's never been it.
I wonder how it got wrong.
It's never been it. It's never been in.
Yeah, I wonder how that got in there. Because we use Sage's database.
Said this is Sage's, this has never changed. He's had this PO box for 25 years.
Is that the property record card?
Yes, ma'am.
It's weird.
sorry, the February 8th, 2023 meeting of the Savannah Historic District Board of Review. The purpose of this board is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of the city of Savannah. This board is appointed by city council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are the basis for evaluating the compatibility of changes and new development. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, and impact on property values are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for a decision. At this time, if you're joining us in person, please make sure that your cell phone is muted. And if you are joining us virtually, please make sure that you are muted as well and locate the control panel and utilize the raise your hand feature during the meeting. Signed postings. Members of the board receive packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not posted this month? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. This month, we have two items on the consent agenda, and I will read those now. The petition of Jessica Jordan, 23-000135-COA, 505 Hartridge Street, alterations, and the petition of Rejuicing Juice Bar, LLC, 22-000151-COA, 501 Montgomery Street, illuminated sign. Is there any member of the public or any board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion for approval of the consent agenda?
I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Thank you, Ms. Gwynn. Do we have a second?
Second. Thompson, second.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. We'll do a voice vote for this. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Next, we will move on to the adoption of today's agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved, Ann Taylor.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Is there a second?
Rowan, second.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Next, we'll move on to the approval of last month, January 11th, meeting minutes. Those are for you to review. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Second?
Higgins, second.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? There was one item on the continued agenda, the petition of Felder and Associates 23-000140-COA, 250 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard alterations. Is there a motion to continue the items on the continued agenda?
Thompson, continue the item number 5 on the continued agenda.
Is there a second?
Gwynn, second.
Thank you, Ms. Gwynn. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. And there were no requests for extensions this month. So we will go ahead and move on to the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendations. We ask that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address the items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to those public comments. The board will then go into board discussion, at which no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairwoman. We will structure board discussion by going around to each board member 2 times for comment. You do not have to provide comment if you do not have any. And if you are joining us virtually, please make sure that you use the raise your hand feature if you have a comment, and I will call on you before you can speak. The first item on the regular agenda is the petition of Fulford Sweeney, LLC, 23-000196-COA, 212 West Huntington Street, porch addition.
Thank you. This is Jamie Zarillo presenting the staff recommendation for 212 West Huntingdon. The applicant is requesting approval for additions. Specifically, they're proposing to remove the existing rear porch and install a new one and to construct a 9x9 shed. So of note is that the property is minimally visible from the public right of way because the lane behind it is private, and the adjacent parking lot that abuts the lane is also private. So these are views from the public right of way. So this is the view that the project is being reviewed from. This is on Barnard Street. So the property is right here. And on Tatnall Street, which is right here with this white gate. So with that said, the only part of the project that's visible is the addition of the new shed, since it comes about 3 feet above the existing wall. As for all the porch renovations and additions, it won't be visible. So our review is primarily focused on this shed. And a few things of note and staff comments is that, for one, it uses hardy panel, which is prohibited under the ordinance. So with that, staff's recommending to revise either to like a hardy clapboard or wood clapboard siding. Also of note is that a shed roof is proposed, and the ordinance states that a shed roof can only be permitted with a parapet, so that it's hidden by a parapet. So staff's recommending to revise this to a flat roof or a approvable or acceptable roof form under the ordinance. Two other comments staff had are just based on some missing information. One, staff's requesting information for the color and finish of the siding, as well as a specification for the rear gate, which is proposed to be altered, which you can see. One second. This gate here, right next to the shed. So we're just asking for specifications of what the revised altered gate will look like. So with that, our recommendation is approval with the following conditions: is to revise the shed roof to be flat to conform to the design standards, revise the exterior wall of the shed to not include hardy panels, instead utilizing a material which meets the design standards, such as horizontal hardy boards or horizontal wood boards, provide specifications on the color and finish of the shed exterior walls, and provide specifications on the new gate door in the rear of the property. And I'll turn over to any questions the board has of staff.
Thank you, Jamie. Does anybody have any questions for staff? Okay, thank you. Would the petitioner like to come forward and state your name for the record?
I'm Will Swinney. I think we pretty well kind of sent some feedback in. I think it was yesterday, and we didn't have any problems with making those changes.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for the applicant? Go ahead.
Just want to clarify the four items that staff have recommended as conditions. Are you good with satisfying all those four?
I am. I think we've already pretty well satisfied them as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Does anybody have any additional questions? Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? No. Do we have anybody virtually? Okay. At this time, we'll now go into board discussion. Ms. Taylor, I will start with you.
No comment. Just agree with staff's recommendations.
Okay. Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Ms. Gwynn?
No comment.
Mr. Higgins?
No comment.
And Mr. Thompson?
No comment.
Okay. Since nobody really had anything to say, does anybody want to make a motion?
This is Gwynn. I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition number 23-000196 at 212 West Huntington Street, provided that the conditions outlined in the staff recommendation are met.
Okay, do we have a second?
Rowan, second.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. Taylor, how do you vote?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Ms. Gwynn?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
And Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Okay, with that, the petition has been approved with conditions. The next item on the regular agenda is the petition of Felder and Associates, 192-0000-197-COA, 27 Barnard Street, alterations and additions.
Thank you. The applicant is requesting approval for alterations to the property located at 27 Barnard Street. Per the applicant, existing non-historic fabric awnings will be removed. The rebuilt deck canopy will be constructed of wood, steel, and glass. Showed you these photos already, but the non-historic awnings are proposed to be removed. Other new elements. Other new elements include replacing non-historic wood and glass doors within the existing unaltered masonry openings, adding wood door surrounds around three of the existing entrances, adding wood planters on the second floor, a combination of gooseneck and sconce light fixtures, which I think you can see the sconces. Yeah, you can see some right there. They'll be used to illuminate the building facade and entrances. An existing project sign here. Is this St. Julian? No, that's not St. Julian. This is St. Julian. So there must be an existing sign there that they're talking about. Will be replaced with the new restaurant brand images, and a similar sign will be added to Barnard, which is here. The historic building was constructed in 1848 as a contributing structure within the district. The building is part of a row and collection of similar buildings that make up City Market. They're all a vernacular style of architecture, a basic masonry construction, simple headers and sills, and very little decoration. Historically, the building has always been multiple commercial uses. Sanborn maps from 1844 to 1733 illustrate this. Let's see. Yep. And then here, so here are the ones that the applicant included. And then we went a little bit further to look at what the awnings looked like in the 50s and then in the 70s. And then we had some photographs. From before City Market became City Market, right beforehand. This was over the Barnard Street facing facing Ellis Square. Well, what was the parking lot? And then this is when it was done. Well, I guess it was under construction when they were digging up St. Julian. Just when they were working on it. Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
But I mean, my point is there have been many different awnings on this building all the way back to, you know, the late 1800s. This really has no bearing right now, but I did want to mention it. The deck that's there now, the porch that's there now, never received a COA. And rumor has it, I moved here in 2006, rumor has it that Wild Wing built it without a COA. Not that that has any bearing on what happens now, but just thought I'd throw that out there. And I can't find a COA on file for it, so. With regard to the Secretary of the Interior standards, standard 2, 3, and 5, the porch addition and the new door surrounds create a false sense of historical development. The designs look old and could be mistaken for original features. Staff recommends that the design of the porch addition be significantly simplified and that the door surrounds be removed from the design. Furthermore, the door surrounds will obscure the historic headers of the doors and likely damage the historic materials. Standard 4, historic changes. The proposed The porch proposed to be removed was likely constructed in 2000 and has not acquired significance, so we don't have any concerns there. The doors that were in these are currently in these openings. They were installed in that 80s renovation that I showed you, so we don't have any concerns about them replacing those as they haven't acquired significance either. With standards 9 and 10 that both refer to additions and additions being reversible, it's likely that the door surrounds would cause damage to the building. A detail was not shown how they'd be attached. However, a mechanical attachment likely disturb the masonry. You can see here there was a detail, but it didn't show how it would actually attach into the building. Down at the base here, you know, particularly at the stone stone header. No information was provided regarding the attachment of the flower boxes. The porch addition is attached to the historic building with a small hyphen. You can see the steel here. And appears to be minimally mechanically attached to the building in the same location as the current addition. If removed in the future, the essential form and integrity of the historic property and its environs will be unimpaired. Staff finds that the porch addition and door surrounds are differentiated from the old, however, not compatible with the historic building and does not protect its architectural features, such as the existing door headers. With regard to compatibility criteria, again, staff does not find the new door surrounds visually compatible. Buildings of this vernacular nature would not have had such high detailing. No color samples were provided. The renderings do show color, but usually it's provided in more of a, you know, more of a board or specification form with some material samples. And for signs, no information was provided for the signs other than that they were mentioned in the project narrative and would need a, you know, checklist to make sure we have everything for the signs. And there was a specification for the wall sconce, but we didn't see one for the gooseneck fixture. Staff is recommending to continue it in order for the petitioner to address the following, because the proposed work is not visually compatible and does not meet the preservation standards. One, significantly simplify the design of the porch addition. Two, remove all new door surrounds from the design. Three, provide information regarding the attachment of the flower boxes and do not damage historic materials. Four, provide all color selections. Five, provide all necessary information to review the proposed signs. Six, provide a specification for the gooseneck light fixture. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions for staff? Go ahead.
Yeah, did you discuss this list of things with the applicant?
Can you turn your mic on?
It is on.
Is it? I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Did you discuss this with the applicant, the six?
No, items? Not these six items, but we had a pre-meeting the week before the deadline where we expressed our concerns about the design.
Great, thank you.
Does anybody else have any questions for staff? Okay. Thank you, Leah. Would the petitioner like to come forward?
Thank you. My name is Ryan Claus with Felder & Associates. If I can offer anything to defend our design, I think Leah mentioned part of our approach, which we agree with the vernacular nature of the structure, that it's a very simple brick structure, and we don't want to take away from that or create any false sense of history. But our approach was to create something a little more ornate, something that did set itself apart from the features in that design era. And we also took, we felt, some greater links to just add some better distinction between the old and the new, especially with the canopy structure. Just for the board to consider, the existing deck currently floats above the existing sidewalk. So it's very clear that this was added after the fact. The sidewalk continues underneath, so do the steps. at some capacity. So it's clearly sort of set on top of it. And that's what we intend to rebuild. And we think that's a clear visual cue to anybody, even a historian, that this was added after the fact. And then we also added the small hyphens that Leah mentioned, which were, we understand it's a small little detail, but it does make it very clear that this is distinct and set apart from the brick masonry structure. So we felt like those two design elements really helped the case to consider this as an appropriate addition to the building. Again, A, as it's more ornate, a higher level of design, and then also B, that it's clearly, you know, set up off the sidewalk and then also off of the building. So the canopy structure itself, we'd like to ask you all to consider that as a potential approval with conditions for the other elements. So we believe, we agree the door surrounds take away from the existing masonry openings, and that needs to be treated differently. So we have no problem at all treating that differently. And I think we'll come back with a design that introduces some canopies over, suspended canopies over the doors to create some hierarchy at the entries. And those canopies would be driven by the design of the canopy structure, the larger one. So it's critical that we kind of nail down that design aesthetic before we move forward with those. But I just offer that as a consideration. That was our approach. We felt that it was distinct, and we can also see the point of view that it does in some ways start to look original, but we think that, again, those visual cues make it clear it's not original. So that's, I think that's all we have to offer. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Klaus? No, thank you. Is there a member of the public that would like to comment?
Hello, my name is Andrew Jones, and I would like to say that I support the recommendations of staff, especially with regard to the door surrounds. This is a building that was deemed notable in the 1968 HSF survey. It's an excellent example of late Greek Revival architecture, especially the inset panels of the parapet with the Greek Anthemians on the Barnard Street side. And it's in excellent condition given its age. The proposed door surrounds hide important features, which is that nice, simple doorway. This is the pure late Greek Revival practiced by architects like John Norris, Alexander Jackson Davis. And those surrounds would hide what is an important feature. Those doors are similar all the whole way around the building. So it's very important if you take two and you're altering them and you're making a a false impression of the history of the building. And the surrounds themselves really are just no style. Maybe you could call them postmodern, but highly inappropriate, certainly would not be appropriate to that period. They're not the Tuscan order or anything else. But in any case, they're not appropriate under the Department of Interior standards. Not only because they hide original features, but because they would also potentially cause damage to the original building in the manner in which they would be affixed. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other public comments?
Ryan Charles, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. We just wanted to state that we did let the petitioner know that our ARC is available to him and we will assist in any way we can. Thank you.
Do we have any other public comments or online comments? Okay. Would the petitioner like to respond to any of the public comments? Okay. At this time, we'll now go into board discussion. Mr. Thompson, I will start with you.
I don't have any comments.
Okay, Mr. Higgins.
No comment other than I support the continuance.
Ms. Gwynn.
I agree with staff recommendations and also support the continuance.
Okay, Mr. Rowan.
I support the continuance.
Ms. Taylor.
I agree with staff's comments and I support the continuance as well. I guess I'd like to add that I do think it's going to be important to try to maintain the integrity of the building by not covering it up with something that could be interpreted as false history. I like the simple lines and the cleanliness of the design, the way it was originally built. So I think it's important to preserve that as much as possible. And even with whatever canopies you may end up recommending or the redesign of the porch addition, I think that the simpler the better. That would be my recommendation.
Okay. Since nobody really had much to say the first time around, we'll now go into entertaining a motion.
Higgins. I move that the Savannah Historic District Board of Review with regard to 27 Barnard Street, file number 23-000197-COA, continue this issue to the March 8th meeting?
Yes.
March 8th meeting, so that the applicant can continue working with staff, specifically with the 6 points in their recommendation.
Okay, do we have a second?
Thompson, second.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Thompson, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Ms. Gwynn?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
And Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Okay, with that, the petition has been continued. And the last item on the agenda, I'll announce and then I'll recuse myself, is the petition of Harley Krinsky, 22-005388-COA, 301 Alice Street, change status of building from contributing to non-contributing.
Figure out which one of these it is. Sorry. All right, the applicant is requesting approval to change the status of 301 Alice Street from a contributing to a non-contributing structure in the Landmark District. 301 Alice Street was added as a contributing building to the historic building map in 2010 as part of a larger effort which ultimately added 112 contributing buildings. The documentation provided in 2010 indicates that the building was constructed circa 1940. However, research provided by a consultant at the applicant's submittal packet appears to demonstrate that the building was constructed in 1951 or 1952, as it does not appear on the 1950 Sanborn map, but is visible on the 1953 map and a 1955 aerial. So this whole next section about public notice, you know, I can go into it again, but we did find that where we found two locations where we had mailed out two different letters to the property owner at who is the current property owner, still Ralph Anderson, but the applicant Harley Krinsky during the break showed me that it was the wrong PO box. So we pull our data from SAGIS when we do these mail outs. So but regardless, I'm gonna let him say a little bit more about that. But there were two public meetings and a city council meeting to add these 112 buildings to the contributing building map. All right, so as I mentioned in the pre-meeting, there's we have to use a different section of the ordinance. One's computer magically unmuted itself. That's what I want to know. All right, so we're going to use this section as opposed to what is in the what's in the report. So any property that meets the following criteria shall be considered eligible for listing as a contributing building. Whether the property possesses integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association, and at least one of the following. And I is associated with events that have made a significant contribution to the broad patterns of our history. And I am going to stop with that criterion because that is the criterion where that the preservation officer at that time used to identify this building. All right. I'm going to go back to The mayor and alderman voted in 2010 to add 301 Alice Street as a contributing building, finding that the building fit within the context and the building maintained historic integrity. Additionally, comparing the photograph from 2010, the document called Analysis of Buildings Eligible for Designation, to the building today, the building has not changed in any significant manner. Obviously, our purview is from the exterior of the building, you know, walking on the sidewalk. That's all we have purview from. Therefore, staff finds that 301 Alice Street still maintains the same integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association that it had when it was determined eligible in 2010 by the preservation officer. Per the preservation officer at that time in automotive-related properties, the decades of the 20th century between World Wars saw the rise of the dominance of the automobile. Early auto-related structures blended into the urban landscape in a manner that contributed to rather than detracted from the larger urban setting. Savannah is fortunate to retain a number of interesting auto-related structures from the early to mid-1900s. Four structures were identified, including 301 Alice Street, that fit within this context, are over 50 years of age, maintain their historic integrity, and meet Criterion A, now known as Criterion I, for the broad pattern of development of the district to include the automotive-related development. Even though it has now been discovered that the building dates from between 1950 as opposed to 1940, the other facts remain the same, and the building still falls within the local district's period of significance, which is 1733 to 1960. Staff recommends that the Historic District Board of Review recommend denial to the mayor and aldermen to change the status of 301 Alice Street from contributing to a non-contributing building because the property remains eligible for contributing status under Section 3.17.4 criteria for designation, Criterion I. And structurally, the building appears to be intact. And I just want to make note of that again, that that's 3.17.4 when you're making your motion. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay.
Actually, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
Vice Chair.
Sorry.
I do have a comment to kind of go with the previous discussion we had. So what are the architecturally significant features of this for the period that we're looking
at? Sure, sure. Usually it's features such as it's very simple, clearly, just like the other building. There isn't a lot of adornment, but usually it's the industrial nature of the window openings and the metal windows and things of that nature. Doesn't have much to it, just like the other building.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other similar buildings in this area?
Oh, I don't know offhand. We have several thousand buildings in the.
Oh, I know. I'm just.
I really don't know offhand. I'm sorry. I'm trying to think. I know one in Streetcar. That's not helpful.
Is the Hollingsworth building, but
that's been pretty altered.
So it's not a contributing structure.
No.
The Madam Chair, the former Acura service garage on Broughton Street comes kind of close to the concept it was used for. So
that one was also severely altered in the 90s. I've seen pictures in our files. Who would have known?
Any other questions for staff? Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record? Thank you, Leah.
Hello, my name is Harley Krinsky. I am here representing Ralph Anderson on 301 Alice Street. Our petition is to remove the historic designation of this structure to make way for a single-family residence. which is more appropriate with the area historically and today. 301 Alice Street was added to a list of historically significant buildings in 2010, when it was identified as contributing example of automobile-centric buildings. The 2010 designation refers to the construction of these buildings as part of the rise of the automobile between the First and Second World Wars. It goes on to describe the automotive-related buildings as contributing rather than detracting from the urban landscape. This study determined that the structure located at 301 Alice was built in 1940. However, recent research, which MPC staff now agrees with, has determined the building was built post-World War II between 1950 and 1953. On review of the Sanborn maps prior to 1950, the site was occupied by timber-frame single-family residential structures. Unlike other structures added at the time, 301 Alice has no automobile-centric characteristics. Right here, automobile buildings that were added at the time, the Zunzi's building, the building on Barnard, and a building on Whitaker, all of which have automobile characteristics. It is a warehouse with no characteristics of an automobile, example, service station, gas station, or showroom. These facts alone should disqualify the property from being added to the list in 2010, as the basis for the 2010 designation was incorrect. Furthermore, when the building was built in 1953 and for the most of the decades after, it was in a blighted area. Since 2000, this ward has seen a resurgence, taking it back to the beauty and rhythm of the residential neighborhood it was prior to 1950. 301 Alice did not contribute to the urban landscape then and does not contribute to the urban landscape now. In fact, having this structure as it sits today impedes the resurgence of the area. The staff has conceded that the original research was wrong on time period, but state the building still fits into 3.174I, which states is associated with events that have made significant contribution to the broad pattern of our history. This building tore down the original fabric of a once vibrant residential neighborhood to make way for a non-significant, non-contributing block monstrosity in a time of economic blight for decades to come. And now the staff is advocating saving that. I cannot see how that makes sense. The structure was constructed from common mass-produced materials, including concrete blocks, steel trusses, and corrugated metal. The overall design of the structure was simple, open space rectangle intended to accommodate its function as an auxiliary warehouse, not an automobile-centric building. Furthermore, the structure does not maintain much of its original materials. The garage doors, which face Alice Street and Gaston Street, historically would have been wood-style carriage double doors, as seen here, but they've been replaced by modern rolling doors. To accommodate the modern rolling doors, the frame has been modified with wood infill. Review of the Sanborn map also indicates the windows have been altered. The 1953 Sanborn map indicates four windows on the west and four windows on the east. Today, the building features seven on each side. Picture evidence suggests that the original four windows on each side would have been wood. There is also evidence that the windows located on the north and south facade are not original, as these windows are aluminum with steel headers, which is completely different construction. The Sanborn map also states the interior walls consisted of plaster. There's no plaster remaining within the building. Another modern alteration, which includes an addition of a drywall constructed office, which was added to the interior in the early 2000s. Further investigation of the building suggests that the roof had skylights throughout based on these pictures above. Structural engineering report that was done and submitted to this board found that in order for the building to be brought up to current code, the current design and aesthetic of the roof would have to change to allow weight loads. This would change the soffit profile considerably due to the fact of additional framing and insulation that would be need to be added. The issues found in the engineering report show that because of the use of substandard materials and building practices to bring this building up to a modern code would not be because of a basic lack of maintenance. If the building's roof design changes to allow new weight loads, then what is left to save? The doors and windows have been changed. In consideration of recent research, the building located at 301 Alice Street does not meet the criteria established in 2010. As demonstrated, the building was constructed in the 1950s rather than the period of significance between the First and Second World Wars. 301 Alice has no characteristics that show the rise of the automobile as previously stated. It was not a service station, gas station, or showroom. The building also does not maintain its historical integrity in its materials or design, as all of the original windows have been replaced, and the primary feature of the carriage-style barn doors on the north and south side have also been replaced. In addition to all these facts, the material that exists on the building today are not even allowed in the district. Cinder block and corrugated metal roof. Let me repeat, the building materials that make up this building are not even allowed to be used today. Our petition has the support of all the neighbors and adjacent property owners. We have the support of the Downtown Neighborhood Association. 301 Alice should be removed from its local designation to allow for redevelopment of the property in a single family residential unit, which will allow for the continued reestablishment of the community's historic residential landscape. I encourage this board not to let the mistakes of the past be perpetuated by allowing this building that was established historic to continue with a contributing historic status. Not all things that are old are historic. I believe in preservation, and I believe in the MPC's mission to preserve the fabric of our community through preservation. But in this instance, the designation of the building was a rush to judgment with the wrong information leading to preserve a history of economic decay and blight. We have the opportunity to correct that now. Please vote to recommend the removal of the designation. I'll give my remaining time to wrap.
Okay, I need you to please state your name for the record.
Yeah, I'm Ralph Anderson. I'm the owner of 301 Alice Street. I bought this building in 1998 as a office warehouse for my company, Savannah Restoration. And just to tell you a little bit about myself, I started Savannah Restoration in 1980. So I retired last year. I've been restoring historic buildings for 42 years. During that time, I've received 2 Georgia Trust Preservation Awards, 8 Historic Savannah Preservation Awards, and 2 Tybee Island Historic Society Preservation Awards. So I know a little bit about historic buildings. And when I bought this building, I bought it in mind to tear it down for my retirement. I just, you know, as Harley said, it's a concrete block box with a corrugated metal roof. I mean, there's nothing historic about it. When I bought it, I had talked to Beth Ryder. She was, you know, ahead of the MPC, I guess, back then. I talked with her when I bought it, and I talked with her back in the 90s about it, and she said that I'll always be able to remove that building because it had no architectural features. It was non-historic, non-contributing, and this building was, as I said, was going to be part of my retirement. I was in the process of selling the building to my daughter and my son-in-law, Harley. So the change in status of this building that I found out 12 years later greatly impacts my rights and values as the property owner. I had a whole half a page about how I was never notified, and now I know why, because it was the wrong PO box. So I was never notified. And if I had been notified in 2010, I would have come down here and I would have appealed this decision because I knew the building had been built in 1952. There was nothing historic about this building. I'm surprised that the MPC requires no notice to the property owner as a text amendment. That's just hard for me to believe. I mean, I had secretaries that worked there for 40 years, that I would have gotten a message, but if I would have received the notice. So now the staff says that it really doesn't matter, that because the building qualifies anyway. But if the staff had gotten the information correct back in 2010, I wouldn't be here today. So I don't think this building is historic. I think it should have never been put on the list, and I think it should be removed from the list.
Thank you.
I wanted to clarify one thing on what Ralph was saying. Ralph's PO box that is listed on Sages on the property card is
9351.
And the PO box that was listed on the printouts was not that. Ralph's P.O. Box has not changed.
I've had that P.O. box for 37 years.
And the listing on Sagis has not changed. So a clerical error, somebody's error, an entry error, wherever that was taken from, in turn, Ralph wasn't ever notified. And I understand that Ralph didn't have to be notified, but if he was notified, he would have spoken up.
Okay, thanks. Thank you for clarifying that. Does anyone have questions for the applicant? Start with you, Mr. Thompson.
I used to have lots of fun with the mysteries of the correct information for people's addresses, and I don't know how to explain that one to you, but the question I have has to do with the steel roof girders. Did your engineer comment at all about the, well, what appears to be a lack of fire insulation on those steel roof girders? That he's, is that in your report? I didn't see it.
It is. This roof truss was built on site with scrap material. It's kind of detailed in the engineering report. It's C-channel steel that looks to be in all different lengths, shapes, and sizes. And it wasn't really meant to last the test of time. It's not an architectural marvel. It's just a bunch of scrap steel that was left over. And that's why when we had the structural engineering report done, he noticed right away that it doesn't conform to any kind of weight loads. And I think Ralph can attest as somebody who's been on that roof before that it's not very safe.
The roof is failing. The rust where it's attached to the steel, where the corrugated tin is attached, the steel trusses, it's all rusting. There's holes in it. The whole thing's going to have to be replaced.
I suppose it was too bad you didn't have a snow load on there to take care of that for you. Thank you.
Are there any other questions for the applicant? Okay. Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? We ask that you come forward and state your name for the record, please.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Ray Massarella, and I have lived in the neighborhood for 20 years. And I support the petition and much of what the gentlemen have argued previously. I was going to say myself, so I'm going to try to shorten my comments. This area, Barry and Ward, is bordered by Jones on the north, Gaston on the south, Tatnall on the east, and Montgomery on the west primarily. And I think, from what I understand, there was some concern about preserving the commercial nature of this building and the commercial nature of the neighborhood. And I just want to make some points to you. I think the 1916 Sandboard map has been furnished to everyone. And if you take a look at that map, the neighborhood is overwhelmingly residential. At the time, there were 5 stores on Jefferson, only 2 stores on Montgomery. There were no stores on Joan, Barry, and Taylor, Wayne, Alice, or Gaston streets. Of the 7 stores that were in the neighborhood, 6 of them were in what were originally houses. So one, not uncommon, you know. So when you walk down the street in 1916, you know, these stores virtually blended into the neighborhood because they were dwellings. The only store that was actually built as a store is located at, I think it's Jones and Jefferson. It's the Crystal Bear Palace now. It was built as a neighborhood grocer. So 7 stores, over 100 dwellings in 1916. So what happened? Why did the area become so blighted? Well, one of the reasons is that Savannah convinced the federal government to connect 17 to Montgomery Street in the late 20s. And I'm sure the city thought that that was going to bring some type of economic boom that never materialized ultimately. But that began changing the neighborhood. And by the 50s, Montgomery, which was almost entirely residential, began to be dotted with various commercial buildings. But those buildings really weren't built until the 40s and the 50s. It took some time. The highway was connected in the late 20s. The 30s, we were in a depression. Nobody was running around town building anything. They were lucky to hang on to what they have. So, you know, these buildings, including this one, were built after the war. And even then, if you look at the 55 map of the neighborhood, there were 27 commercial-related properties. There were still over 70 dwellings. So the notion that this is historically a commercial neighborhood, that's just not true. And I'm here to support the petition because I think it's a good idea to restore it to its historical residential character. Everything that's gone on around it in the last few years has been residential. We've built single family homes. There's been a lot of apartment buildings built on Montgomery. I just think it makes sense to return it to that history because there really is no history. This building has no history. It's really an eyesore. It was built when the neighborhood was blighted. It continues to contribute to urban blight. I mean, the justification is that, you know, it's automobile related, which I guess everybody now knows that that's not the case. I heard rumor that it was once associated with the Cadillac dealership, which is not true. The Cadillac dealership in the 40s and 50s was Chatham Motors. It was located at Drayton and Liberty Street. The showroom was on the corner. The service building was to the east of it. This has nothing to do with the Cadillac dealership or any automobile related business. If you look at the four structures that were approved in 2010, two of them were gas stations, really cool, you know, the 20s, 30s gas stations. The other was, you know, the service center for J.C. Lewis when it was on Oglethorpe, and this building, which, you know, was claimed to be built in 1940. And of course, we all know that's not true, but there was no association with an automobile dealership at the time. You know, and when the mayor and aldermen approved this, you know, the significant events that we looked at earlier, the significant event was the rise of the automobile and the construction of these buildings between the wars. So the city commission added this to the historic map based on the wrong information. Everybody knows that. That's not the significant, those significant events that have nothing to do with this building. It was never a gas station. It was never an automobile dealer. It's never blended into the urban setting because if you look around what's left of what wasn't destroyed when the city decided to put the terminus of I-16 in there to completely blow up the neighborhood, what's left is frame, generally one-story buildings. So this thing doesn't fit in at all. When you walk down the street, it doesn't blend into the community.
I think you're going to have to wrap up your comments fairly quickly now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We do have some more public comments, and there's one on the phone, I believe, that we'll take before we'll come into the room here.
Ellen, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Are you able to hear me? Good afternoon. Are you able to hear me?
Yes. Can you turn it up just a little bit, or can we turn it up a little bit? I guess we've turned it up as far as we can, so speak up as loudly as you can.
Is this better?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Review Board. My name is Ellen Harris. I am speaking on behalf of the Downtown Neighborhood Association, and I just wanted to correct the record to state that we are neither opposed nor in favor of this petition, and just would like for that to be on the record. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Please come to the podium, state your name.
Hello again, Ryan Jarls, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. I'll save some time by not reiterating our past statements on this project. I would just like to state that we do support staff's recommendation. And I just wanted to add one more statement, and I'll preface that statement by stating that we are a preservation organization, so that's where we're going with this. I'll just state that beauty is relative. So some may find that a building like this one is worthless based on its low style, but others may find this building very handsome. So you're going to have people on both sides of the boat. Just to the rear of this building, I'm sure you've seen 501 Jefferson. It's a two-story building at the other corner. This building also has very little style. It even has the dreaded glass block as an exterior material. This building is also labeled as contributing. So I think we just need to keep in mind that if we're stating that we can remove buildings from a contributing list just based on the fact that they have no style or that some people may find them ugly, we find that a dangerous game. And we just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other member of the public that would like to speak? Okay, now we're going to enter into board discussion. So we'll start with Mr. Thompson.
Yes, now after two hearings of this,
Sorry, Mr. Thompson, I have to give the petitioner an opportunity to respond.
For me.
To public comment.
I guess I would just like to clarify, I think that the information that that this building was brought under was wrong. I think it was a rush to judgment of why it became historic. There were 100 other properties at the time that became historic. I think the owner was not notified. I do understand that owner didn't have to be notified, but I think if he was notified and he was aware at the time, that he would have spoke up in a way that clarified a lot of the mistakes that had happened. And I understand that, you know, this ultimately becomes an issue for city council, but I do believe in the process. I believe that coming to you guys first and trying to get the proper support and going through the proper channels is the way that this is handled correctly. So I hope you can see it our way.
Thank you.
I add one more thing.
Yes.
I would just like to say that the buildings with such controversy on Barnard Street, they were just approved for demolition. Those buildings were also built in the 50s.
Thank you.
At Barnard and Charlton Street, I believe it is.
Okay, Mr. Thompson, please continue.
It's hard to say, was after hearing this twice now, I'm in the position of agreeing and supporting the applicant's request. So that's about all I have to offer.
Mr. Higgins?
I am still of the belief I had at the last hearing that I agree with staff comments that we oppose the delisting of this. A couple of points. One, I keep hearing there's no relation to the auto business whatsoever, but on the Sanborn map that actually the applicant submitted, it shows auto repair, clearly stating that yes, there is a tie. It does not say how it's tied to another business or that sort of thing, but it is used as an auto repair shop. So it does have significance as far as the automobile business. I have questions about the notification. It seems that the process went between hearings and when the vote took place was probably a month, 2 months, somewhere in there. Just my general knowledge of the city of Savannah, there is so much chatter that I just can't see how you would not know that this happened. And I think Ryan pointed out the best. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I mean, I see this as a nice representation of an industrialized building. It's part of how this neighborhood progressed and developed and continues to develop. Is it perhaps an ugly duckling right now? Yes, but part of that is it is not, in my view, has not been maintained, has not been made to look like an asset to the neighborhood. So we need to look past that. And I oppose removal of this from the building list.
Thank you. Ms. Gwen?
This one's a tough one for me, because while I am not generally in favor of overturning previous decisions, based on the criteria that we have to evaluate whether or not a structure is contributing or non-contributing, this one, I don't see any features or values that would cause me to understand or support a decision to move it to a contributing building or save the contributing building status. I think, you know, the materials are not significant. I don't see any architectural features that read as automotive or that would signify the emergence of the automobile. It reads as a warehouse to me. I think that there's already a significant loss of anything that would be considered historic or significant. So I'm in favor of the applicant's petition on this one.
Thank you. Ms. Ron?
I'm in agreement with Ms. Gwen. I'm not going to repeat everything she says or just said, but I'm in support of the petitioner.
Okay, thank you. And I'll just add that my comments haven't changed from the last meeting as well. I don't feel like time or lack of maintenance has changed the determination that was made in 2010 to make it a contributing building. I think it's contributing historically to the period of significance as well as the area, and do not support their request for demolition. So I'm going to go back through one more time, see if anybody has anything else to add. Mr. Thompson?
Well, actually, I guess I have a question for staff. What's the zoning on this property right now, or the applicant?
DC.
DC?
DC.
DC, downtown.
Downtown commercial.
Commercial. Okay, thank you.
What I'd like to add to my previous comments is I think removing this as a contributing structure puts us on a slippery slope. It continues to meet the criteria for listing. There's nothing that has changed since it was listed. And by delisting, as I said, I feel we set ourselves up on a very slippery slope for preservation.
Thank you. Ms. Gwen?
Well, I appreciate my colleagues' comments. I think that, you know, all decisions that we make can be reviewed and are subject to be reviewed. And it's the reason that we're here, to have the ability to review certain things like this. And I think, you know, with this particular building, with it being a part of 112 other buildings, I don't know that City Council had the chance to review each individual one. And the decision that we make here today would simply be a recommendation to City Council, and they would take further review based on the ordinance that they are in charge of upholding. So I think I don't have as significant of a concern with making a recommendation on this building, because it will be further reviewed and voted on by City Council.
Thank you. Ms. Ron?
I agree with the previous comment by Ms. Gwen.
Okay, so at this point, we will now entertain a motion. And I think we need to keep in mind here that the motion needs to be what we recommend to council. The recommendation, according to staff, is to recommend denial to the mayor and city aldermen, as read on the screen there.
Right, so you would just take off this portion, and then obviously whatever this portion, and then don't forget to change that to 17.
Who would like to make a motion?
This is Ms. Gwen. I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review recommend approval to the mayor and aldermen to change the status of 301 Alice Street from a contributing to non-contributing building based on previous comments.
Thompson seconded.
We need a, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we need a really strong reason for recommending a delisting.
There has to be clear criteria stated in the motion.
Okay. Start the motion over, just add the criteria.
Okay. Yes, correct.
I would like to add to my motion the following criteria. I do not believe that the building shows use of significant material. It does not show significant architectural features that read as automotive or the emergence of the automobile. And thus, I do not feel it meets the criteria outlined in the ordinance 3-3.17.4i.
Okay, thank you.
Is there a second? Again, second.
So just to review, this is a motion that was made by Ms. Gwen to recommend approval to the mayor and aldermen to maintain. How do we decide to not change the status? I'm sorry. Yeah, to change the status of 301 Alice Street from a contributing to non-contributing building because the property does not have significant building materials or design or is representative of the automotive industry, and it does not meet criterion I as stated in section 3.16.4 for designation.
3.17.4.
And it was seconded by Mr. Thompson. I think we got it. Could you say, Mr. Thompson, please start with how you would vote?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Opposed.
Ms. Gwen?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
And I vote nay. So the motion passes.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm going to have to get those off of the recording tomorrow. No. Yeah, I have to straighten it out. Oh, somebody's got to get Ellie. Did you write it down? Do you? I might, yeah. Can I look at it before? Yeah. Okay.
Can I ask what it was?
Oh, no.
No?
You can't ask.
I didn't think so.
No, it was for approval to change the status.
It was?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. All righty then.
So to change it to non-contributing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I understand now. Okie dokie. So a list of staff reviews has been attached to the agenda, and I'm going to read through those now, and then we will vote for acknowledgement. The petition of Doug Bean signs 23-000378-COA. 402 East Broughton Street, non-illuminated sign on the front facade. Petition of Southern Roof and Wood Care Corporation, 23-000371-COA. 323 West Jones Street, install new TPO system roof. Petition of BIC Management, 23-000133-COA. 242 Bold Street, color change with conditions. The petition of Stephen Bodek Incorporated, 22-005847-COA. 318 Habersham Street, color change windows and door. The petition of Roof Medics, 22-005995-COA. 401 East Broughton Street, in-kind roof replacement. The petition of Justin Mangold, 22-005460-COA. 554 East Charlton Street, after the fact color changes for the porches, doors, and trim. The petition of AAA Sign Company, 23-000137-COA. 1501 Montgomery Street wall sign. The petition of Cortland & Co., 22-005998-COA. 250 Bull Street color change. The petition of Tony Hensley, 22-005845-COA. 328 Barnard Street, non-illuminated sign. And lastly, the petition of Grant Rogers, 22-006003-COA, 14 West Hull Street, work to stop water intrusion, replace gutter soffit fascia boards, four windows, deteriorated mortar on third level, and reinstall time period mortar. That was a mouthful. Vote in acknowledgement, say aye.
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 Okay. Next is attached are different reports regarding the certificate work that was done without a certificate of appropriateness, work that exceeds the scope, and work that is done that is inconsistent with the issued COA. There are also reports attached is the reports regarding the items that are deferred to staff as well, including stamped drawings, inspections completed by staff for February. And then now we are under unfinished business. We have to do the vote for me to be reinstated as chair for the next upcoming year, and then for Ms. Karen Gwen to be the new vice chair. So how do we go about doing that? Do we just make a motion? I forget.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So
can they do it for one, or should they do them separately? Do them separately.
So we will now entertain a motion to reinstate me as chair.
Rowan, I move to reinstate Ellie Isaacs as the chair.
Okay. And then do we have a second?
Quinn, second.
Okay. All in favor? Let's say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. And let's also do a motion for to make Karen Gwen vice chair.
I will recommend that.
Do we have a second? Rowan, second. Okay. And all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Now we have a new vice chair. So Nan, you'll have to make sure you submit your letter to renounce your title. I think you do, don't you?
Do what?
To renounce her title. We don't have to do that. Okay. I thought we did. Never mind.
You have to hand over like the scepter.
Yeah. Something. It's like hand over the scepter. Okay. So for adjournment, next pre-meeting is going to be March 8th here at noon. And then the regular meeting starts at 1 o'clock also here in this room. And we will adjourn. Yay.